And Luna, you're kicking us off if you're ready.
Oh, her speaker is turning on.
You want to sign up?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
So just remember, we need to do two separate.
Yeah, for both of them.
Luna, we're just going to switch it up to Sean, and then you can take the next part. Does that work for you? Okay.
Wonderful. Well, glad to have everybody here today. Looking forward to our meeting. We have a couple of things to get things kicked off. Did everyone have a chance to review our minutes from May 27th? Thumbs up and acknowledgments. Okay, can I get a approval for those minutes for May 27th?
So moved.
Any second? We got a second there? Wonderful, wonderful. Anybody abstain or disagree or have a comment? Groovy, we're moving forward with that one. You okay, Jenny?
Could we do just a roll call vote?
Oh, yes. We have to do
it. It's on the screen too, Sean.
Okay, and I can't see whose faces are, I can't even read the name, sorry.
Just starting up with Luna. And
oh, okay, I can see the roll call name. Okay. I was looking at the pictures, the images. So you see, I'm, it's been a long day already. Let's see, let's do a quick roll call vote. Luna.
And Luna will approve in the chat. Yes.
Okay. Emmy?
Approved.
Tracy?
I think she's on yet.
She's not on yet? Okay, we'll skip Tracy. Meredith?
Not yet on.
Rihanna? And I didn't see Jefferson on there either.
No, but we got a thumbs up from Rihanna.
Okay, thumbs up for Rihanna, and I'm like, thumbs up. Kevin? Okay. Rich? Is Rich on there?
I don't see Rich either.
Tom?
Tom approved.
Tom's got the blacked out photo there. And Terrence? Wonderful. Thank you.
Is Wayne?
I don't think Wayne's here.
Tracy's on now.
Tracy's on
up. Okay. Wonderful. Well, we can approve those minutes for October 23rd. May 27th. So now we're moving on to the approval of the minutes from October 23rd of 2025. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from October 23rd, 2025.
Wonderful. Can I get a second?
This is Rihanna. I'll second.
Wonderful. Any concerns, any issues? Anybody want to abstain? Wonderful. Okay, we'll do a roll call for that, for those minutes. Luna?
She had to jump off.
She had to jump off?
Yes.
Okay, Emmy?
Yes.
That's your live in person. Tracy, somebody else just joined up. Meredith?
Not here.
Rihanna?
Here.
Sean is a yes. Kevin?
Yes.
You said Rich is on now?
No,
Rich. Tom?
Tom, yes.
And Terrence, am I pronouncing that right?
Terrence?
Yes.
Wonderful. And yes. Wonderful. And we are good on the minutes from October 23rd. Hey, let's see. We want to adjust the commissioner vacancy. Do we have any information or anything on that?
Just that we have eight, is that right?
Yes.
We have eight applicants, and so we are about to engage in a process of going through everybody's resume, doing interviews, and then we'll come down to a few finalists, and then you all obviously know the process submitted to the governor. So we're hoping to have that done and that's sent to the governor before the end of the year.
Would we as a commission get a chance to see those names? At what point would we get a chance?
So you, Luna, and Rihanna, as folks who are doing the interviews, we'll have all of those. Okay. And then you all will choose the top folks for us to interview.
Wonderful.
And then welcome, Dr. Nye.
Thank you. Good to see you.
See you, too.
Okay. Next thing we have on the agenda is getting to know each other. This is something I brought up a couple of times to Igor about the fact that we're all participants, we're all commissioners on this commission, but we haven't had a lot of time to really get to know each other and the work that we're doing in each of the areas that we are involved in. And we wanted to just take a little bit of time to maybe just have a few folks step forward and think about it. You see it on the agenda. Who inspires you to do the work that you do on this commission? And also maybe some intersections that you may have or see where we can actually collaborate as commissioners outside of the work that we do just in the meetings, but within the communities that we're serving. Does anybody want to go first there? All right.
Can I go first?
Please go ahead, Tara.
Well, for me, it's the community health workers, the community advocates, the family service specialists, and people in the community who do the work, who serve their community without the recognition. They're usually not up front. We don't see them, but they do the work. So they do inspire me, and I would like to use this opportunity to be a voice for them, to highlight them, to bring their work to light.
Kevin, I see your hands up.
Yeah, thank you all, and just to echo what Tira said about community, in my work with Proxima, I guess think about partnerships and engage with not only community, many of the community health workers, community advocates, leaders, but just community members themselves. And then also working with education systems, working with healthcare systems, and then again with state and local agencies. I get to be in so many different spaces. And so for me, it's been awesome to be part of this group because I can take what I learned from the community leaders, from the community members, and also from our education systems and also from employers and be able to sort of bring that perspective into this space, but also use what I learned in this space and take it back to our partners to help guide some of the work and connect some of the pieces. I see myself as a bridge between these systems. And so it's great to be here because I can advocate at a different level or, bring in other ideas to the work that I do.
How can we elevate that even more with knowing all the different groups that folks are working with or not knowing, creating a greater understanding of who's doing what work and how those intersections can aid each other as we continue to do the work. Tom?
Yes, I think one thing that's been really helpful for me over the years as this organization was put together, and of course Nubia did so much to bring us all together and really help move this process. But I think having some of the presentations of the work that each of us were doing in different spaces was really helpful because I think we believe and we probably accept, at least the folks sitting around this table, that good things are happening in a lot of spaces, and yet there's so much work that needs to be done still as we move forward. And it did help, especially coming from the criminal justice side, where there, even though I think there's a lot of positive that has happened over the last decade, there's so much more to continue to do. It just, I think, put it in perspective, and it was helpful to me to know that so many others were doing positive, good things as well.
Thank you. This is Emmy and one of the other commissioners. I would second what you're saying. I'm almost thinking, Sean, it would be fun to do like a refresh. I don't know. I'm a visual learner. And so I think that idea of sort of just like the puzzle, right? And like mapping, like, again, where each of us sort of in our day job as well as kind of communities we represent or serve, to kind of almost do like this gap analysis as we look at the big umbrella multicultural affairs, to just say, okay, so what else is needed? Are we truly supporting, you know, the full community here? And like, and how does that work both from a community representation perspective, but also from a service delivery perspective? And might that help us know like what other kind of collaborations or partnerships we could engage in? You know what I mean? Yeah. But again, to your point, Tom, of not duplicating the work, Lord knows there's enough work to go around, but like, how can we, you know, I don't know, just a thought.
I think one of those things is doing this and sharing, finding a space to share what work is being done.
Right.
And how we can include not just the commission members, but other entities that we're working with in those conversations or in those events or activities that are taking place in the community. I think there's a lot, there's so much going on, but there seems to be like there are a million silos where they're all happening. And to break those down, I think it's a great opportunity for us as commissioners to be able to do that. Heard somebody click.
Kevin said 100%. Totally agrees, John.
Anybody else? Oh, there's a hand raised. Oh, Tom, too.
Yeah, Sean, I agree with what you just said. And I kind of, as I was thinking back when I was the chief of police in Bountiful and we started a community that cares program, and the Judge K was one that approached me, and then we kind of built that out. And what was the most interesting and amazing to me is two things. One is how much work is being done in different spaces. That was helpful to know that, you know, many people are trying to connect our community and try to make sure a lot of our focus was on our youth and trying to build on that. But just knowing that there was those efforts being made. But I think as importantly as that, maybe more importantly, was, is there a way that we can take all of this synergy and kind of identify two or three things that we're going to focus on as a commission and in this space that we can all, you know, more than just us doing things in our space, we all kind of come together and help build that. That's the part that I thought was the most helpful, is otherwise sometimes you're duplicating and people are stepping on toes, whatever, but they just don't know, you know, the best way to move it forward. And that was helpful.
Thank you. I think Rihanna had it. You had your hand up?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I think definitely my inspiration is to make sure that rural voices are heard on this commission and that we're getting that perspective at the table. And I just look forward to contributing what I can through the experience I have mostly in medical and legal sectors with multicultural populations.
Any other insights from anyone else? I'm going to go back to, and I want to pronounce your name correctly.
Terhas.
Terhas, you talked about people in the background and the work that's being done. How can we as a commission elevate those voices that are doing that work and find ways to be inclusive of them and working across sectors? I think it's really important that, you know, folks that are doing work that is mostly unseen, which I like to be in that space too. Less of me and more of you is always the motto I live by, but I want to make sure those voices are elevated. Do you have any ideas how we can do that as a commission?
I guess one of the things we have done the last 2 years was inviting different partners, stakeholders from the education sector. I think we can do something like that, like bring them together, and they have a lot to share because they're in the ground doing the work. Maybe creating spaces for them to come to connect with other people who are doing the work maybe if we can create like regional like gatherings, something like that for those community advocates to come together. Sometimes I get the recognition because I'm the face. I'm like, I'm outside. I'm in these spaces. I am in most of the table sitting. I don't do the work, but the people who do the work are in the background. And I think it's good to bring them out and maybe create spaces for them to come to reconnect. I wonder if we can maybe plan on an event, a connection or a gathering event of community advocates, community health workers. There is a lot. There is many people in, at least in my, in the communities that I work. Each community has their own helper. They have different names. Some of them will call them like aunts, aunties or uncles or mamas. It's just they do the work. They drive the change, but they don't have the space to voice. So I take this as a great opportunity for me to bring their perspective, but I don't claim to represent any of their work because they do amazing work in each community. So I guess maybe create spaces for them to come and share what they have, whether it's a best practice to serve or even the challenge they face doing the work.
Yeah, I really echo that, and I love that idea of, you know, bringing in community leaders, community partners, even maybe us meeting with, you know, another group of leaders in the community to like connect the two pieces together. And perhaps before that, what we can think about as a commission is, like you mentioned, a couple of, you know, two or three areas that we like to focus on as a group. And then from there, you know, we then have sort of like some big objectives that we're doing as a commission. Then we bring in groups that help think about those, you know, those sectors that we're thinking of working on.
And I think that there's a couple of things. I think it adds validity to the commission with the work that's being done here, but it also gives us another set of voices out in the community to be able to say this work is being done at state level, coming down to us, and we have people that are listening to us, and we're able to do that. I love the idea of engaging other community leaders, because there's a lot of folks out there doing some great work. To have some space available for them to talk about what they're doing and seeing in which ways each of us can help each other in those types of conversations. I know time is a big thing for everybody, but a lot of times maybe if we connect it to an event or something that they're doing to have a commissioner to be present at those meetings, I think it's something that is a possibility. So I would love that to have that level of engagement for us as commissioners to be able to be out in the community, because there's only one Jenny and one Igor, so they can't be everywhere. But I think that that's one of the responsibilities we have as commissioners, to show up at some of these events. And just to get invited to it is incredible. So I think as commissioners, if we know of something happening and we know that there's something important going on that maybe we should be privy to, help us get that invite so that we can show up and determine if somebody's available to be able to go out there and then bring that information back to the commission. Is that okay? I'm speaking out until I just blurt these things out. So.
I think that's a great idea.
Great.
I think the question for me is what's a good way to organize it?
That's always the question, right? how do we organize those things? I think the easiest thing, and don't beat me up on this, Jenny, but the easiest thing is to send Jenny the information about an event or something that's going on, and she can disseminate that to us, and we can just say, hey, okay, I'm available for this. I'll show up for it. And that might be the easiest way to start out with, until we come up with a formalized way to do that, or maybe that may be the formula.
I'm curious, just because we are a smaller commission, what it would look like to just send it to each other, just so we could share on our email and say, we have this event coming up, we would like to attend. Because we're not...
I wouldn't want to miss anybody, though. That's why I wanted to have a central
miss email anyone.
Yeah, the commissioners. The commissioners.
Well, we got all their emails.
What does that mean? That's what I was saying. Jenny can send it to
us. I'm just trying to save Jenny's time.
I don't. Oh, that's true. But I used to.
I think we can put together an email with everybody's emails on there. It can be just for upcoming events.
I think that'd be great.
I like Kevin's idea. Kevin, I'm with you on that. We have a couple of WhatsApp groups that we're doing right now with this Utah Immigrant Advocacy Coalition, and that is a one-stop place. And if that's just maybe it's a little bit of Jenny's time to get it set up with here's the membership, and then we're all there, that would be an easy way for us to communicate with one another. It doesn't get bogged down in our inboxes, our emails, our text messages kind of stuff. Whether it's that or, my IT fights with Google all the time, so my bias would be a WhatsApp.
My IT fights with me.
Yeah.
Either way, I think that would just to be able to make sure.
Tracy raises a great point about it becoming a quorum if we're all on there. Tracy, do you have something?
That's true.
No, I just wasn't sure if you saw it. I just WhatsApp chats with all of us or emails with all of us, depending on what we're corresponding about. We might have the vision that it's just about events and things like that, but it could very easily turn into, kind of decision making and not intentionally. And then we would be violating the Open and Public Meetings Act.
Good point.
Luna, your comments were beautiful and lovely. And I know you're having IT issues, but I just loved how you framed that. And you're right, and I'm trying to remember if you can scroll up a little, Jenny, at the end of your last comment, where I just think that is kind of, I don't know, our vision of what we're doing to show up and just be able to elevate, unite, and support or win for our community, I think is just amazing. And maybe, Luna, to Tracy's point, your point about adding a standing agenda item in every meeting that says, what events are coming up, but if we're only meeting quarterly, then it's what do we do if things pop up in the middle in between times?
So I'm trying to think of ways that we could do this that would help us to come together and also not make it a public meeting that we would have to then submit.
I think what would be a quorum would be 3 people. Be a quorum.
Seven.
Yeah. So if any of these events, we make sure that we limit the number of people that attend.
Potential.
We would be okay. Or if we, if we somehow, I don't know how we do this with an email to state, this would be of interest to me, and there may be, 2 or 3 people that could say, okay, well, we'll attend it, or I'm going to say the reality is it will probably only be 1 of us or maybe 2 that goes to each of these things. So
I also wonder if we could form subcommittees based on our interests of 3 to 4 groups. And then we would just figure out who those groups would be interested in and what sort of events they'd be interested in attending. And then we could send out a WhatsApp group that way.
Yeah.
Tracy, did you have an idea about that?
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't think just by virtue of us attending an event, we would be violating the Open and Public Meetings Act. So if we all showed up at a community event, that isn't a violation. I think if we all went to that community event and we all were like, hey, we need to talk about this issue. Let's all get together. We're all here. We have a quorum. And then we made a decision. I mean, I would say, since I'm not the attorney for this group, I just think like it might be helpful to get some counsel, but I don't think us showing up at a community event would violate that act. And so I don't think there's risk there.
This is Tom, and I agree completely with Tracy, and I would take it even one step further. The very idea that someone is sharing information that people can choose to attend or whatever wouldn't be an issue either. Really, it comes down. So if there's an email that's going out that's mentioning, hey, there's this event going on in this location on this date and time, that certainly isn't going to be a problem. It's really about coordinating a meeting, making decisions in that meeting, discussing things that should be in public as part of the commission that's going to be
that what we just have to not get afoul of.
Yeah, agreed. So maybe we can send out event emails and then everyone can know not to start conversations about that meeting on that email chain.
Right. Yeah, I hear you, Luna. My husband's an immigration attorney. We went to Ireland in September and we were wondering if our phones were going to be snatched as we came back into the country. I hear you.
I think one of the other things that's important for us in attending these things is to make sure we're connecting with the organizers to say we're present here. The reason that we're present is not to, you know, take over and have a conversation, but we want to know what's going on in your community or with this event. And we just are interested in sharing that information with others.
And is it okay for us as commissioners to say that we're here to support that, or does Tracy that get into challenging issues? Like if we're coming as a commissioner of MCA, can we say we're trying to support these community events, or does that get touchy? I just want to be clear about presence.
I mean, again, like, I don't know, Igor, I would just maybe have some of these questions raised with your counsel. But I don't think that that's a problem that you say that you're a member of the commission and you're there in that capacity. But okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know all the rules. Tom might know more. He oversees a lot of these boards and commissions.
Yeah, I don't believe we'd run afoul. And to Tracy's point, we've got about a dozen and within my agency, about 140-150 people. And they're criminal justice involved at one level or another. And we can have several people showing up at an event or an activity. And, but again, it's really focused more. I'm not the legal expert, so I do agree with Tracy that if there's any questions, then you have advisors that can, but in my opinion, it's the intent of why we're there. If we're scheduling a meeting amongst our members and it happens to be at a location that something else is going on, that's probably where we start to run into issues of, you know, we're pulling a meeting and then we intend to discuss things that should be done in an open meeting. But if we're just showing up to support and there to even to help if they need help in something, I think that's a very different environment.
Yeah. Well, we can run these questions past our council just to double check, but I think you all are correct on that.
Okay, that was great. I think now I can pass it on to you.
Yeah, sure. So I just wanted to give a quick update. First of all, it's great to meet some of you all that I haven't met before. I'm sure, you know that I'm the new director of the MCA, so it's great to meet y'all. And I really just appreciate all of your work and really excited to help us figure out what our new focus is. I feel like this conversation is helping us start to come to much more of a pinpointed focus around what are those one or two issues that we could really work on together and make an impact by virtue of where we sit in the community and the organizations we're with. I also want to share that I was able to meet with the Lieutenant Governor since our last meeting, and really the intention has been to restart the relationship with her and this commission and get a sense of what some of her priorities are and present some of the work that this commission has been doing over the last year and a half. And so we were able to have a productive conversation about some of the work and recommendations that you all made. Thank you for filling out that last survey. We used that to compile some of the recommendations to share with her. And one of the things that really came through was she was really worried about how many of our communities have gone silent. From individuals who are now not willing to sign up for free and reduced lunch, to different stories about communities being targeted and not actually sharing what is happening to them with public safety because they're worried about it. So she expressed a lot of concern that we used to have good connections with communities and to be able to know what was happening across the state. And she said that a lot of those networks have started to become more silent and turn away from sharing what's happening. And so we talked a lot about what that looks like, how we're aware of if we are getting in touch with our different communities. And she identified that as an area that she's really curious about and would like to know more about. She also said she'd love to participate in some of the work that we're doing, but she isn't interested in being a part of our report out meetings. But she did seem really willing to particularly be engaged when we are doing community events. So from that, well, before I move on, does anyone have any questions about that?
Yeah, what is the reservation around the report out meetings?
She just has too many. She's just literally on dozens. And so for her to be able to attend every meeting that's having a report out, she just doesn't have the time to do it.
Okay.
But I do think there's a possibility for figuring out what would be the right meeting that we could hold once we have a clear sense of our direction and what we're working on, that we can start to engage her in that direction. And she seemed really excited and willing to do that. But I think first we need to figure out exactly the direction we're going and where we want to focus.
So I realized I could join on phone and be able to speak. And my fingers are fractured with typing nonstop. Yeah. So I, Igor, just wanted to quickly speak about the meeting that you had with the Lieutenant Governor. Yes, a lot of our communications and all of those systems have broken down, but there are very solid reasons. And I'm sure that you did share that with her. And I think this is something we have to take on as a commission to educate her as to the level of mistrust, the level of challenges that our communities are facing. Those are also very real, and that it really needs a shift in their work to gain trust back in these communities, right? A lot of trust factor came in when we did the work around COVID. I think that was a time where a lot of commissioners, but, you know, a lot of community came together and was able to translate the needs which, you know, different government departments then responded to, which helped bridge a lot of these gaps. And as time has passed, those pathways have gone cold. And right now, today, we sit in a very different environment. Before I finish, I also have a question. I did see the Lieutenant Governor yesterday or day before yesterday declaring a Sikh day in the state of Utah. And I'm wondering if you were part of that conversation, if you were introduced to that group, Igor, and if the Lieutenant Governor has it in her mind that those are connections that actually are at her hand to make you part of these conversations and these community groups.
Yeah, I wasn't part of that conversation introduction, but I think that can definitely be part of the continued outreach to her and her office.
Yeah.
Luna, I want to ask you a question. So we did talk about the distrust and the challenges that communities have in feeling safe and being willing to share. I'm trying to figure out how do we connect with those community members as commissioners to help give them a sense that there is someone that they can talk to. I think at this point, I mean, one of the things that's perpetually on my mind since the SNAP benefit crisis was the individuals who didn't receive their benefits and how can we know who they are. And at the end of this year, I've heard numbers between 3,000 to 5,000 families that are now going to be ineligible for SNAP benefits because of their immigration status. And so that question to me about where are those communities and are they willing to have conversations with us about what's happening? But if we can't create those connections, then we're not going to know who's hit hardest by those changes.
Look, once again, I think you can't blame these community that do not want to be identified right now. You know, right now, so many of different agencies overlapping work in targeting these groups have become so prevalent. You go for SNAP benefits and, you know, ICE is waiting outside. and so on and so forth. So I mean, if I take off my commissioner hat and speak as a community member, even when I do have access to these community members, and you know, we just actually did a drive over this weekend where we provided about 1 month of rations for families who were affected by the SNAP discontinuation or disruption and everything. And, you know, we in our own community looked over their credentials, so on, to make sure that they were SNAP eligible or were receiving, and then provided them. We raised about $10,000 to provide these, you know, groceries, and the community contributed. But would I bring those to a government agency right now? It's very unsafe. So I don't know how to bridge that. I'm being very honest and vulnerable.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Luna. Tom, you've got something.
Yes, I completely understand and agree with what Luna's saying. And you can imagine in the criminal justice space right now that the sad thing is there will be so many more victimized because they will not have an ability, nor will they want to risk speaking out, that there will be those that will take advantage of it. And we're already seeing that play out in certain areas around the country. So I think oftentimes the spaces that I may be involved in or folks within my organization may be involved in don't trust government. And I think what's different now, less than a year later than what it was, or close to a year later, is I think before someone might question, is it worth my time and effort to go down this path with a government entity, or maybe it could be our commission, whatever. Is the value there? Is it worth my time and effort? Will I get anything at the end? And now I think they're having to weigh, will it actually hurt me by even getting involved in the first place? And I think the only way we break through that is people that folks in these communities do trust, those bigger voices, those community voices, understanding what our role is, and maybe having, maybe being able, us being able to provide some sense of safety, that this is a group that you can interact with. We're not boots on the ground, you know, moving people all over the place. We're trying to build programs and bring people together to try to support each other. That's the only way I can really see it moving forward, is by key leaders. It may be ecclesiastic leaders. It may be just community members that have taken a leadership role. If they get into a comfortable space with us, then maybe others will be willing to risk it. But that's the sad thing about what's happening, I believe.
Tracy, go ahead.
I just am wondering, like, kind of building on Tom's position, if there's an opportunity through you, Igor, and Donna, and I think Kat's on too, to maybe start having some dialogue with some key lawmakers about how people are actually feeling. You know, kind of early conversations with some, like a certain handful of people. So there's a little bit more awareness and exposure that this is having real impacts on Utahns. Obviously how those conversations occur is something that probably warrants further discussion, but that might be a good first step.
Yeah.
So I want to also affirm what Tracy and Tom said. I think the idea of trying to get to grassroots community members is not going to have traction in this moment where we are. But I think you have enough leaders in this commission to position them to provide you information that can be taken to the different government entities for them to understand what the community is feeling. So I think you, Igor, and the MCA needs to basically hold hands at both ends and be that communication channel at this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree with you, Luna. I think it's I was sharing this with Igor in our one-on-one, just the level of fear in our immigrant and refugee community right now. And again, that aversion. I mean, before, you know, 3-4 years ago, it was more around USCIS guidelines around public assistance and how that might in some way adversely impact their visa status progression, right? But now I think with so many of the 287G agreements between, you know, sheriff's departments and ICE, there is such a reluctance for our underserved community to come forward, and seek help and support because of the fear that their information, whether it's provided to DHHS, whether it's provided to DWS, whether it's provided, you know, a certification for someone who's a victim of a crime, that is that police officer now going to turn their information over to ICE? And you're right. I think the fear is just so palpable in our community. And I come back to, but we're Utah and we're so welcoming and we're so supportive. How do we as a commission help to sort of, and in our, you know, day jobs as well as our commission work here, like how do we continue to provide that sense of that voice and that sense of hope and commitment to our Utah community, right?
Yeah, but I absolutely agree. But, you know, my experience is also showing me that when we refer to these community as immigrants or refugees, that that's actually not accurate at this point. It is actually anybody and everybody. You can almost say underserved community or, you know, communities of color. You know, yeah. I know, you know, born citizens who are carrying their documents. Just have to be different in any kind of way for you to be targeted at this point.
Oh, good. Yeah. I stand corrected, Luna. You're right. I was just thinking of kind of the clients we're serving, but you're right. Anyone of color at this point is a potential target. Mm-hmm.
So what do you all feel are a good suggestion as far as how we can help in this moment to help community members feel like they do still have someone to talk to? And we still have government agencies who have information to share, and there's misinformation that's going out because our communities have lost that connection. And so I think the two questions that are on my mind is, how do we find and build a sense of trust with some of these community members, community organizations? And I hear what you're saying, Luna, and that now is a really hard time to do it. And that the outreach isn't going to be that fruitful because of the level of hostility and fear that's happening. And there's still misinformation that's out there. And if we don't have a sense of how do we share and what is our connection with these organizations, then I think we're missing our primary job on this commission. And so my question is, how do we create those relationships, understanding that the climate we're in is a really challenging one, and that we're not going to be able to build the networks that we want in this moment, but we are hopefully going to be able to make some connections so there is a little bit of communication going back and forth.
So I think, if I may speak, once again, being from these affected communities or understanding them, you know, providing resources is the only reliable resources is the only way to trust building at this point. So I think instead of waiting to find the right people to take the message, it's almost like every government agency that is providing public service needs to change the way they communicate, quite literally, and not worry about who they provide the information to, but change their tone and their marketing to put out resources that help these communities. And the commission has to be one of those entities that constantly is taking the information from these government entities and putting it out there in the public. It's going to take a certain runway for people to focus in and say, from this source, we are getting, you know, good resources. And that itself will build trust. So I think it's almost like you're creating a new marketing plan for all the government entities, and the commission has to be the one taking it to the community. That's one of my solutions.
So trying to understand our relationships to the community members, making sure we have good connections with agencies and we're being the link between them, and also helping them understand how to actually get that message out.
So
is that right?
Sort of, but it's also like, I'm just going to use an example. You know, Tracy's department has, let's say, you know, a free clinic going on for dental health. Let's just take that an example, right? Extract everything from different departments. In fact, I think the departments should also change the way they're communicating to these communities, give you a list of those resources, and you should put them through your channels and through the commissions on a consistent manner for next few months till people tune back into this space. And then we can have, you know, sort of like community events and so on, where we can direct people to resources. But it's important to build a resource list, consistent resource list, and put them out there in the community. Not focus on finding those connections, but using your current channels. Whatever you have, revive them, you know, make them louder and put resources on them. Real tangible legal help right now, you know, free legal help. What are your rights? All of those need to be constantly put out for the community to see and understand. Those smaller community groups should not have to do this work. They should be able to see what resources you're, you know, providing and bring the community there. Does that make sense?
So you're talking, Luna, say something like a toolkit for communities. Put together this information, gather it, and then share it out. I like that idea. Because then you can allow other leaders to be able to disseminate that information more readily without having to wait for one of us as commissioners or somebody else to come and have a conversation. I think that gives us also that opportunity to initially connect with those groups, those individuals, to say, hey, here's a toolkit for you and your community. Share it out. If it's done electronically or whatever, we can say, you can share that amongst all your folks, just to make sure people know what resources are out there. I really like that because it helps us to have a mechanism to move fast and quick. It's putting it together that's the burdensome part, but I think it allows us an opportunity for engagement and deeper engagement with people at every level doing work at all these different places that usually don't have any voice or usually don't see these resources available to them. You know, I think about the free legal services that are available to people. Not everybody knows about that. Not everybody knows about all the resources that 211 knows about that they can direct them to. And a lot of times, like with folks at 211, they can just give us that information and say, here's the resources we can ask them to. Here's the resources, and add that to the toolkit. So there are some opportunities, I think, there to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's like you almost become a marketplace for all the work, resources that different agencies offer for these communities. And I keep saying, you know, I've had a lot of questions from the community saying, what's the goal of this commission, right? And I think that makes me think, is my goal to show up in the community? Is my show up to, you know, engage with the community to do what? I do not have any legislative value. I do not have any policy value in anything. What I offer is, once again, that bridge building with different entities with that exist within the government. So the commission needs to act like a marketplace, like a space where everybody can come and see where they can get services that they need and what is the most up-to-date, the most relevant information for the issues that the community faces.
And Luna, where would you imagine that information would live or how would it be sent out? How would it be shared?
I mean, I think I'm probably going to get ahead on the agenda items that we were talking about. But I think, once again, we do have enough channels. You know, we do have a newsletter. We do have our social media and everything. It just needs to have more information available readily you know, we all know what's happening in the community at a certain time. You know, if the SNAP benefits went away, that was the time to put all that information out on the channels. And I think moving forward, like I had suggested, that if each commissioner can take on introducing themselves through a newsletter and then basically distributing it to their own networks. I mean, if I am part of a newsletter, it just motivates me to share more with my own people. And for the commission to look at the back end and keep adding those folks into our main mailing list or, you know, our social media footprint or however the data is synthesized and grow our distribution list. That's, once again, one of the suggestions that I have.
Kevin, you put something in the chat about trying to do this and some challenges. Do you want to share about that?
Yeah, I love the idea of like resource lists. And again, like us being the bridge to the community members, I think there's a lot of lists like this that gets put out or put together by various groups. And, you know, from my experience, I tried putting together a list like this as well, too, during my time working at the state, doing community health worker work, you know, putting together resource lists so that we could disseminate it to CHWs across the state to share with their community members that they work with. This is a challenge because things always change. Programs come, programs go, program capacity fills up. And what we find is, you know, there's a resource listed on there. And then we hear, you know, a couple weeks later, it's like, oh, yeah, the program's full or it was just a limited time or something like that. And so it requires a lot of due diligence and someone being on top of managing it and updating it and then, you know, making sure that we're getting the right information on there. And so, you know, again, thinking about our work, right, we act as trusted leaders in the community, sort of being the voices, being the bridge between community members and state leadership. And so I wonder, maybe we aren't the ones that curate the resources, but we lean on organizations that already do this on the daily, like 2-1-1 does this. That's all they think about, right, is resources. What are the resources out there and compiling into this database? I think maybe it's working with them to see if we can better get their resource out into the community. And, again, people can pick up a phone and call, but maybe they don't have that trust. Or maybe they don't even know 2-1-1 exists or what it's about. Or maybe there's a better avenue for 2-1-1 to share their resource data bank out to community leaders so that we can then share that. Just some thoughts. I love the idea. It's just like the feasibility of it can be challenging.
I think, Kevin, tagging on to what you were saying, I was at a meeting yesterday in Ogden at James Madison, which is like the first sort of community center model in the state. And what was interesting is we were talking about this resource issue in 2-1-1, and a member of one of the underserved communities also brought up 2-1-1 doesn't work for our community because people have only this, right? They only have a phone. They don't have much data. What do they have? They can't load an app. They're like, can it be a website where I can just, you know, tap into it, look at it, a list? And again, to that idea of, you know, how do we make it consumable when we're, you know, we assume people have laptops, have iPads, have access, have, but again, she was saying for my community, people won't use 2-1-1 because they don't have enough data on their phone to be able to download another app.
Yeah. And
so I think I just say that in terms of it's a wonderful idea and we need to look at it, but we need to look at how we package it so that it is consumable to our underserved community and not assume that they have the technology access that the vast majority of our community or constituents of the state do.
And that's what we need to collaborate with folks like 2-1-1 to say, this is what we're hearing. This is a barrier to getting this out there. What work can you do? And we can make that happen because I work with them.
Yeah.
By the way,
that'd be awesome.
They'd be more than happy to say, oh, maybe that is a gap we're missing. Mm-hmm. Let's look at how we can do this.
Yeah. Awesome. So I think connecting with 2-1-1 is a really good action item from this conversation. I'm also hearing not quite a resource list, but I also feel, Luna, that you're sharing how do we do a rapid response when something comes up and how do we share that through networks? And so there's that idea of how do we just make sure that people have access to different resources that are needed, but when a crisis comes up, how are we getting that information out as quickly as possible to our networks? Luna, that also seems like part of what you're saying. Is that right?
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Correct. And I think, okay, once again, the idea when I say that, you know, the commission should be, or your department per se should be the bridge builder, all your different government entities should be looking at you in the crisis to communicate out to these communities. You should be part of their sort of list of organizations or groups through which they can put the word out or communicate to these different groups. And I think, I'm sorry, I'm just bringing in another topic in this whole conversation is, you know, for our community, unless we offer resources, we have no value. I will repeat that. And I think in that context, when we talk about reaching out to different community leaders and so on, I think there needs to be a thought where we've done grants before, we've done, you know, let's say trainings and so on and so forth. Once again, if those can be brought back in some shape or form, once again, to build trust and to get these folks to come in to receive a resource, I think in the long run, that will also help quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we are going to do our capacity grants again. Jenny, do you want to share anything about that?
Yeah, that's something we're hoping to launch again in the spring, so sometime around March. And if you are, we'll actually send emails out to the commission so that way you can share it out with your networks. But basically what our capacity grant is to help the internal infrastructures of newly operated nonprofits. So between 1 to 5 years in operation, that's who we are targeting for these grants. And so that's something. If you're interested in, you know, learning more about the process, please feel free to reach out to me. We have opportunities for commission members to be part of the evaluation process, if your time and capacity allows. And so it's just something we've heard from our community partners is that a lot of the grants are, they go towards programs or projects, but not anything that can help them again with some of the internal aspects, like with strategic planning or technology improvements. And so that's what this grant is for, is to help fill that gap.
And Luna, when you said that multicultural affairs needs to be one of those avenues of communication, I absolutely agree with you. And you all are also a big part of that. So how we then disseminate information to you and you share it with your networks is just a crucial part of how we get this message out to the community.
Absolutely.
Before we move on, I'm curious if anyone else has anything else to add on this topic.
I do.
Go ahead, Rihanna.
One thing I think would be of value for us to be able to have and to disseminate is training materials for whether that be, you know, I think I had mentioned to you, Igor, in our one-on-one that there were some materials about communicating with multilinguistic communities, just to have, it was something that I thought I was approached to do some training in my community. And I thought, oh, maybe the Multicultural Affairs has some materials. And I contacted them at that time and they were able to give that to me. And it was extremely helpful. So I think that would be a great thing to have a resource library to be able to share.
Okay. Yeah, we can search some of our training archives and see what we have. So as far as just action items moving forward, so there's the conversation with 211 around just understanding the availability of their resources, if they're available to all of our communities, what are those barriers? There's the question around rapid response. So how are we gathering information and how are we sending it out to actually get information out as timely way as possible? Rihanna, your question around training materials and a resource library. Any other just action items or insights from the conversation you want to make sure that we're capturing?
No, just having it's a state office, so having a resource library I think would be a really helpful thing and would reach a wide audience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the questions I have is, you know, coming in and being new to this role, the question for me around who are the communities we have close relationships with and who are the communities that we actually, they might be falling through the gaps. It's been on my mind, since I've started this position, and I think there's a bit of an assumption that multicultural affairs, thank you for joining us. There's a little bit of an assumption that we have great connections across all of Utah's communities. And as I've been meeting with representatives, from different communities here in Utah, it's clear that some of them are stronger than others. And so one of the things that I would really like you all to do is we put together just a little 7-question survey to understand who are the communities that you feel you already have access to and who are the ones that we feel might be falling in the cracks. So we're just trying to get a sense of who those individuals are and who I need to be reaching out to and building those relationships, who we can lean on you all to be able to have those conversations with them and know that if I get you this information, you're going to be able to disseminate it out to the community. So just trying to understand what those gaps are would be a great place, certainly for me and MCA to be able to understand the groups that we might be missing. So I would just invite you and ask you to do that survey. Again, it's only 7 questions. So if you could do that by the end of the week, it would be tremendously helpful. And we'll put that information together and then just let you know what we found. It's also anonymous as well. Any questions about that?
Just if you could resend this and everybody knows that they have it.
Yeah, I just sent it. So it should be the top of your emails. And then Luna, you had started to talk about this idea about how do we essentially revitalize our networks. So possibly with a newsletter, the way we were doing before when organizations were presenting, we were then summarizing the material and sending it out. And I know that you had just talked about wanting to do something like that again. Could you talk a little bit more about that idea?
Technology challenges today. Oh, my God. well, I think I spoke about this in the last meeting, that to engage the commissioners at this moment, as we are trying to get to know each other, I think there's an opportunity to create more buy-in from not only just each one of us, but our buy-in with our different community groups. And so one of the ideas that I had requested to look at is, you know, I believe we do a monthly newsletter. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And if we can, keeping an eye on our back end data collection, create a cadence of introducing one commission member with one newsletter on a rotational sort of basis, and then ask internally that once, you know, if a certain commissioner is highlighted on that newsletter, that they share it with their different community groups. And so keeping an eye on the back end of your data, ensure that we are able to capture those shares or are able to create some kind of marketing value, which can be then utilized for the commission itself. So it's like, you know, if I am, let's say, from the Muslim community, if I am highlighted, I will be able to share it with, you know, my different groups. And if there's a way to follow or tag or get folks to sign up for the newsletter and everything, it might just create more residual value moving forward. So it's just a simple idea of trust building, you know, providing resources to the community through specific commissioners to their own community and building back a lot of sort of pathways of engagement. Yeah. I rambled, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, the question, I appreciate the question of how do we grow our list and how do we track our reach? So essentially understanding how many people are receiving it and then, being able to then grow that number so we have more reach across communities. Okay. I can look into what that would look like for us on the back end. Megan's unfortunately not here right now, so I can ask her what that would look like. Certainly the newsletter is much easier for us to be able to put something in and send out. The question of how we would track that across social media is out of my expertise. So I can ask her about that and get back to y'all.
And I think the way that I wanted to do it was be impossible to track it, because I wanted just a shareable version so that we could just share it out to the community in person. It's easier that way because I'm simple. That technology is just starting to add all up. There's too many websites and too many whatever's that just start to bog me down. But just in a format that I like, the format that it comes to us and when we read it in the PDF, but I like to be able to share that PDF out to different communities.
Yeah.
And also communities I'm not really engaged with, but that I'm connected to, that I'd like to have them start to ask questions about what we're doing here.
Yeah. So what are different ways that we could share this out that would be easily shareable through email, social media, or different avenues?
Yeah.
Okay. And how can we track that so we can actually know it's effective?
And like I said, wouldn't be able to track it to all the people that I'm sending it to, sure, but I could at least say, you know, hey, I sent it to these different communities.
Yeah.
This is the responses that I'm getting from folks.
Yeah.
Something that simple.
Well, this is certainly a lot to consider and chat about. I can certainly talk to Donna and Kat about this. I think this is also really valuable to bring to the next meeting with the Lieutenant Governor. And so I'm going to work on just crystallizing some of the insights and ideas that you all have shared and figuring out what would be actionable and what we can do and get back to you all. I feel like in some ways we've talked about next steps for commission work, but Sean and Luna, are there other things that you want to add in that section?
I don't have anything. We went through a couple of iterations here, and I think got some really good information.
Yeah,
I just want to thank you, Igor, for coming and, you know, questioning us on even to the most basic assumptions that we've had. You know, it does get a little numbing when we are in this space to revisit everything. So I think your prompts are helping us to rediscover our strengths and realign. And I think we've had a robust discussion today. I think we're leaving you with a lot of work to do, but I don't have anything more to add at this point. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I promise you I'm going to give all that work back to you and the commission. So don't worry. Sean, do you want to talk a little bit about meeting schedule?
Yeah. I know that December is always a fun month to get meetings, but wanted to look at when we could plan on our next meeting and what is a date that might work for everyone. The first part of July also seems like it's pretty tough the first couple of weeks, but somewhere after that, maybe the third or fourth week of July.
July?
I mean, January. Okay. See?
All right.
That's where I'm at. I'm already
jumping ahead. You're just passing wind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm thinking about all these other dates coming around. Yeah. But yeah, something maybe, how much time there? That gives us six, almost 8 weeks between meetings. If we look at sometime the second 2 weeks of January, after things settle down for folks. Mm-hmm. If that works for everybody.
So the week of the 5th or the 12th?
Yeah.
Could you repeat the date? 5th or 12th of which month? Sorry.
So we're looking at January and possibly...
I was thinking the 2nd, because people are still after the 1st, and then the session starts on the, 13th? So I was thinking those the last 2 weeks of January sometime. The last 2 weeks, yeah.
I was going to say, sir, have you met me? I work for Sundance. Belfin Festival.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
And last year, yeah, and this is the last year.
So yeah.
Oh, we don't say that. We say it's a culmination. No? Yeah, no. It's not the last year.
Okay.
But, the rest during those last 2 weeks.
Yes. We start on January 22nd, and everybody's invited. It's going to be a big, huge celebration this year.
Wonderful. We'll look for that invite. So the week before, would that be more conducive? I know that, well, the date of the session is the 13th, but that's a good afternoon.
Kevin, you had suggested the 12th?
12th is a Monday.
Mondays are hard for me because I have my team meetings then, but...
And I believe the first day of the session is actually on the 20th.
On the 20th?
We can double check that, but I believe it's the 20th.
That may be the case because I think the MLK holiday is the 12th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it would be the 20th. No,
on the 19th.
That's only 19th, so it would be the 20th. So does the 13th work for everybody?
13th?
What time are we talking?
Same time. Same commission time.
Yep.
Same commission place.
Same bat channel. Same bat channel, yeah. 1 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to stay uncommitted at this moment.
Okay.
I'll try my best.
Okay, so January 13th from 1 to 2:30. And Jenny will send that out. Thank you, Jenny.
Actually, all of the meeting rooms in this building are occupied. I don't know. So we'd have to look maybe at another space.
Yeah, the product development center.
We do. We can find a space.
Yeah.
I feel like we'll figure out who's coming in person and how big of a space we need.
Yeah.
Okay. Lynn, do you want to take the next section? You want Sean to take it since you're on your phone?
I'm trying to be able to see this. Do we have any other comment? If not, I mean, I'm happy to give everybody 15 minutes back.
We can always use it.
Yeah? All right. I'll make the motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Anyone opposed? Unanimously adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, everybody.
Talk soon.
Put your name in the hat for something so you can get an invite.
What's the thing, or I can't know yet?
It's a task force. In place, and we have a summit in January 8th. And